Andrew S. Grove. High Output Management. Andrew S. Grove emigrated to the United States from Hungary in 1956. He participated in the founding of Intel and became its president in 1979 and chief executive officer in 1987. He was chosen as Time Magazine's Man of the Year in 1997. In 1998, he stepped down as CEO of Intel and retired as chairman of the board in 2004. Grove taught at the Stanford University Graduate School of Business for 24 years. He died in 2016. Introduction. 1. What happened after 1983? I wrote this book in 1983. It was the result of 20 years of managerial work, during which I learned a variety of ways to make things take place more effectively. What I learned were the basics of managerial work, particularly as they pertained to middle managers. More than a decade has passed since, but I find that most of the things that were useful then are still useful now. The basics of management remain largely unaffected. However, two critical events took place in the 1980s that altered the environment in which we managers do our work, and this made me realize that an updated introduction to this book was necessary. Those events were the Japanese memory onslaught and email. Let me explain their implications. By the mid-80s, the Japanese producers of dynamic random access memories, or DRAMs for short, the most popular computer memory devices used in computers of all kinds, had perfected their technological capability and honed their manufacturing prowess to the extent that they could take on the American producers, who had pioneered the market and totally dominated it for the first 15 years of its existence. The mid-80s were also when the personal computer revolution took place. And because personal computers require a lot of memory, the Japanese DRAM juggernaut had a ready market for its products centered in the United States. Everything was primed for an attack. Intel, where I work, was one of the companies that got caught up in this assault. In fact, Intel was one of the early producers of DRAMs. More than that, in its earliest years, we had practically the whole market to ourselves. However, by the mid-80s, competition both from the United States and increasingly from Japanese manufacturers whittled down our share of the market. Under the ferocious attack of aggressively priced, high-quality Japanese DRAMs, we were forced to retreat and cut prices to a level where being in the DRAM business brought us major losses. Ultimately, the losses forced us to do something extraordinarily difficult: to back out of the business that the company was founded upon and to focus on another business that we thought we were best at, the microprocessor business. While this adjustment sounds quite logical and straightforward in theory, in reality, its implementation required us to move and redeploy a lot of our employees, let some of them go, and shutter a number of factories. We did all this because under this strong attack, we learned that we must lead with our strength. Being second best in a tough environment is just not good enough. Ultimately, we, Intel and the U.S. semiconductor industry, prevailed over the onslaught of the Japanese manufacturers. Intel grew to become the largest semiconductor manufacturer in the world, and U.S. manufacturers recently surpassed their Japanese counterparts overall. Nevertheless, in retrospect, it's clear that this assault was just one wave of a much larger tide, the tide of globalization. Globalization simply means that business knows no national boundaries. Capital and work, your work and your counterpart's work, can go anywhere on earth and do a job. Some of us are fortunate to be residents of a country, the United States, that enjoys one of the highest standards of living.